Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 6 and reading verses 25 to 34. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, how they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." So far the reading of God's word. There'll be people of God, the constant thread, it seems to me, in these verses, the word that crops up over and over again is worry. And that's something that we are very familiar with. That's something that occupies our minds and hearts throughout our lives. We can't help it, right? We think about things. We think about things particularly that we need. Then we think about things that we don't see in our life that we need. And then we worry how that's going to be resolved, how that's going to come. But not only do we worry about those things for ourselves, we worry about those things about other people, about our friends, about our children. Even though we have lived our lives and God has been faithful, somehow we think he's not going to be faithful to them. And so we do our share of worrying for ourselves, but then on top of that, we add the worries of those that we love and that we care about. And that's not the way God wants us to live. And so this passage, as I said, the constant word that keeps cropping up is worry. And the Lord Jesus Christ has one message for us in that regard, and that is, don't worry. Stop worrying. Stop being anxious. Why? Well, in one sense, I mean, first of all, it disrupts our lives. Secondly, it doesn't reflect well on him. I mean, if our children are always constantly worried about the next meal, that doesn't reflect well on the parents, does it? And the kids have no confidence in their parents. So this passage then we need to take to heart at this time. And the first thing that the passage impresses upon us is that we have to have our right priorities. We have to give the right weight to certain things in our lives. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He said, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. In other words, when we look at our lives, then let's give the right weight to various things. Because the tendency is we give all the weight to things that are not the highest of priorities. So we give weight and importance to things like food and clothing, rather than to the body, rather than to the life God has given to us. And we can all see that, right? We can all understand that when the Lord Jesus Christ says that, right? I mean, somebody that's whose life is in danger and threatened, and yet they're so concerned about, you know, let's go shopping, let's buy some clothes. I really need good clothes. And you think, we need to spend time on the concern about your life. Or they say, let's go out to a nice restaurant and eat. And you think, the priorities are wrong here. Right? There's a greater issue at hand. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. Is that at times we get so preoccupied with things that do need to be addressed, absolutely. But it's the order in which we address them. It's the importance that we give to them that the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing. And when we give the importance to them, then obviously we're not giving importance to the other things that need that focus. And so that's what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to bring our minds to think about. What is important in life? In what order am I to be concerned about various things? And so food and drink, of course, are very basic, I understand. But life itself. And so the thing about it is, he said, God has given us life. He's given us the more important thing. And yet we're worried, oh, but he didn't give us food enough. He didn't give us drink enough. And of course, we can go a step further. What's even more important and beyond life itself? It's the spiritual life. It's our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is more important than anything. That's more important, not only more important than food and drink, it's more important than life itself. It's hard for people to understand, hard for young people to understand. But our catechism emphasizes that right at the beginning. When it asks us that question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only comfort in life and in death? I mean, that's really trying to get at understanding whether the person really has their priorities right. Because if they don't have those priorities right, then they will answer that question in terms of the material things of this world. What will make me comfortable? Well, if I have a family, if I have a house, if I have a good job, if I have enough for retirement, those are the kind of things that people think about. But it doesn't answer that question, does it? Because it says, what is your comfort in life and in death? In death. The rich farmer that had abundance of crops had everything, right? I mean, presumably he was married, presumably he had a house. He had enough to pull down his barns and put bigger ones and fill them up. And then sit back and relax, he said to himself. Everything, retirement, no problem. He had everything that he needed. But he didn't have comfort that night. Because God said, this night, your soul is required. Misery. Because his comfort wasn't for life and for death. And it's that understanding that led Habakkuk to say what he did in Habakkuk chapter 4, verse 17 to 19. How is it that somebody can say that even when circumstances are so bad, even when, in fact, for him, of course, it was going to be a long time, 70 years, they were going to go into exile. And he says these words. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, different kind of economy back then, obviously, right? Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. How is that possible? For him to write those words? Because he had his priorities right. Because he was looking at it by faith, which is, of course, where that phrase comes from. The just shall live by faith. It's only the just that can make these statements. It's only the just, it's only the Christians that know what God has done for us in terms of our eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, that can make these statements. Nobody else can. And so that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is impressing upon us. That's what leads the hymn writer Philip Bliss to write, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. People of God, the Lord Jesus Christ hits upon a very fundamental and important truth that we as Christians need to have in our hearts and lives. Because without it, we're going to be tossed about by every circumstance that comes into our lives. And it's going to destabilize us. It's going to fill our life with worry and anxiety every day. And that's going to cause stress, and that's going to ruin us and make us miserable. But it's these truths that the Lord Jesus Christ is bringing upon us that will strengthen us through those times, that will give us all that we need to stand firm, that will give us the ability to look beyond the immediate circumstances that the devil wants to focus our minds on, and to be able to look past and to see that comfort which is for life and which is for death. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in the second place, goes on to give us reasons, give us rationale for us not to worry. So the Bible doesn't just say, don't worry. I mean, that doesn't get very far, right? Somebody's concerned about something, you say, don't worry. Okay, but it's not going to happen. So God's word gives us reasons. And so the Lord Jesus Christ does here too, gives us reasons. And he points us to the fact of the creation. And so he gives us very practical things to consider. So he says, well, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? So he's saying, look, consider God your Father, right? I mean, remember, he's writing to Christians. He's not writing to unbelievers. I mean, that's not going to help. Unbelievers are not going to take these words at all. He's writing to Christians who know the Father, who know God. And so now he leads us to understanding God. He said, look, we don't understand God properly. That's your problem. And so he said, let me show you the way that he acts. And so he said, let's go to creation, because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He takes care of it. It's his responsibility. So how does he take care of the creation? And so we look at the birds. And we think, well, you know, They don't have hands like us. They don't have, you know, ability. I mean, we call people bird brain, right? Which means they don't have much, right? So we're looking at animals that are not, you know, the most sophisticated, even though God has given them with all that they need, right? And so they don't engage in the activities that we engage in. And yet, the Father takes care of each and every one of them. In fact, he thinks about them. Not a sparrow, right, falls to the ground without the knowledge and the will of God. So not only is he concerned about every hair on your head, he's concerned about every bird. That's the intimacy with which God is involved with his creation. And so he feeds them. He takes care of them. Yes, sometimes we put our stuff out so that they can eat. But not everyone does it, right? Some do. If the birds had to rely just on the people that stick things out in their garden, they would perish. No, God feeds them. All around the world. Not just in our back garden, all around the world. And so what does the Lord Jesus Christ, what's the conclusion of that? What's the money statement, in a sense, in that? It's this. Are you not more valuable than they? You Christians, you people for whom Christ died on the cross, don't you get it? I love you. I care for you. This is the way that I care for birds. So you can imagine how much I care for you. Why would you worry? You know, the birds never have stress. I mean, not that I know of, but they don't. They don't worry. And the Father feeds each and every one of them. And then he says, well, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So there's another thing. We worry about clothing. So many times, of course, unnecessarily, because it's always fashion rather than simple clothing. But even with that, when we look at the creation, and we look at things that are not that important, right? Not that valuable, right? The grass of the field, the lilies that grow, or beyond that, right? As we mentioned so often before, look at the trees, look at all the different colors, look at all the beauty in the creation. And every year, it goes through this cycle. It perishes. And then it comes back up. And it perishes. Back. I mean, we wouldn't do that, would we? I mean, for example, if we knew floods were coming and going to damage our house, we wouldn't go out painting everything and making it all look wonderful, and then this comes and it's all destroyed. Then we do it again. I mean, in a sense, that's what God does. And you think, Lord, you go through all this trouble of making this creation look wonderful, and yet, you know, end of the year, they're all going to perish. But that's the way God takes care of his creation. And these flowers and trees and stuff, the way that God clothes them is just beyond comprehension. They're so beautiful. And that's what he's saying. Even Solomon, of course, that was king and had all the funds available and no doubt dressed himself so wonderfully, he said even the best that he had comes nowhere close to the way that God takes care of the flowers and the trees. So are you not more important than they? Which is what he goes on to say. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, very temporal, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God loves us beyond anything else in this creation. Because he did not give his life for the creation. He didn't give his life for the birds. He didn't give his life for the trees. He didn't give his life for the seas and the stars that are in the universe. But he did give his life for you and for me. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is a message that ought to always be present in the forefront of our minds. God, I mean, we get our children to sing, right? Jesus loves me, this I know. But that there's a whole lot of meaning behind that. He loves us. He's committed to us. 100%. He's committed to us. And the scriptures teach us that in so many different passages. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never takes a vacation. He's always watching. He's always active. He's always guiding our lives. He's always turning to good. Anything that comes into our lives. Because bad things come into our life. Because the devil brings bad things into our life. We make bad decisions of our own and place ourselves in danger. As many parents know about their children. They make certain decisions and we cringe. And if we had our way, we wouldn't allow them to do that. But of course they grow up and we can't stop them. God is involved in every aspect of your life and he's never taken a vacation. So what comfort we need to have. What joy we need to have in our hearts. Every time you see a bird, every time you see a flower, as you travel your way through life, remember and tell yourself, God loves me more than that. God loves me way beyond more than that. So that we might be convinced in our hearts and minds. And besides, the other reason that he gives is, by worrying, you don't change anything. I mean, by worrying, we don't accomplish anything. Worrying is treading water. It doesn't get you anywhere. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Whatever you think you're going to improve by worrying, it's a fallacy. It's the ploy of the devil to get you all stressed out. And in the meantime, you're doing nothing. You're doing nothing constructive. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, abandon that. Stop that. Stop that. Be assured in your hearts and minds that God is taking care of us. And that's what he says. He said, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? It's not that God doesn't know that you need these things. It's not that God is just saying, oh, too insignificant for me to bother with. That's not what he's saying. He says, I know that you need all of these things. The world runs after these things. The world, for after all these things, the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He lived down here. He knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to thirst. He knows that. He knows that we need these things. And he's taking care of it. So trust him. That doesn't mean we don't work, you understand. Doesn't mean we don't obey the scriptures in terms of working and being a good steward and diligent. No, we need to do those things. But those are avenues by which God is taking care of our needs. Every day, God cares for you. Every day, he knows you have needs. And he will provide them. But sometimes we go through, as I said, different circumstances, all kinds of reasons. But God has a purpose to test us, to refine our faith. He had a reason why for 70 years he sent them into the exile. God has his reasons. But it's never that he doesn't love us. It's never that he's forsaken us. It's never that he's not taking care of our needs. Absolutely not. No, as our catechism puts it, we will go through different circumstances, but God has taught us how we need to respond in those different circumstances. So when things go well, we need to be thankful. We ought not to be proud. We ought not to think, you know, I'm doing well because I'm a hard worker, and that family isn't doing too well. They're just lazy. They just need to work harder. No, that's not necessarily the case. No, for us, we need to be thankful. We need to confess that the good things that have come into our lives have come from God's fatherly hand. That should be an encouragement to others. When they're going through struggles and they see us and God has blessed us, that ought to be an encouragement to them that God is able to help his children and is able to help them too. But if we say, oh, but we're so intellectual and we're so hardworking, that's why, you're putting a guilt trip on them. No. Teach them in your response to direct them to God himself. And when things are going against us, it says, we are to be patient. Patient because we know that God loves us. We know that God is going to come to our aid. It's just a matter of time. That's what patience is all about, isn't it? If there's no thought that God is going to come to our aid, what's the point of being patient? We're only patient because we know God is going to act. And so we come to him. We pray to him. We wait upon him so that we can renew our strength. And as it says, with respect to the future, we need to be confident. Because God will never go back on his word, and God will never abandon his children, and all history proves that. So we don't live in fear. We don't look at the economic forecasts and say, oh boy, you know, what are we going to do? And we you know, rub our hands and worry. No, we don't. The same God that has kept us for many, many years. And that's an encouragement, of course, in the church, that we have seniors, we have people of all ages, and the children can see God has been faithful all these years to these people. He will be faithful to me too. And so the Lord Jesus Christ leaves this subject by bringing it to its conclusion and the way that we need to view life and respond by saying this. Here's something, he says, you need to think about and really need to pursue. What I want you to do, he says, is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's where I want you to focus your minds. That's what I want you to make the most important aspect. That's the first thing I want you to check in your life. Is, am I seeking the kingdom of God? Am I seeking his righteousness? Am I honoring him? Am I pursuing him? Am I desiring to know him more and more day by day in my life? If that is the case, everything else will fall into place. If you're right with God, everything else will fall into place. And he says, and all these things shall be added to you. You do your part that I'm calling you to do. The most important part. Make sure that's taken care of. Don't worry about the rest. I will take care of you. I will provide you with means and avenues by which all your needs will be met. Never fear. Never doubt. Therefore, he says, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. You concentrate now on the immediate. Where are you? And that's a question that each of us needs to ask. What am I doing? What am I doing? Every one of us should, with full confidence and sincerity of heart, be able to say, I am seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For young people and for adults and seniors. Everyone ought to be making that statement. We can never start sliding. We can never start, as it were, not making an effort and just becoming spectators. Then we're not doing that. Jesus doesn't direct that verse just to certain people in the church. It's to everyone. Till our dying breath, we need to be seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing full well that God will sustain us in all of our needs. People of God, in all circumstances of our lives, you need to fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, to serving Him, to enjoying that salvation and spreading that gospel to others. Everything else, not only for this life, but for eternity, is already secured and waiting for you. Let us be at peace as we serve Him and honor Him. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that in a world where concerns about our lives, especially retirement, is impressed upon people even when they just start working and continues to get louder and louder as we grow older, we thank you that you have assured us that you bless us with everything that pertains to life and godliness, and also that you have reserved in heaven for us our eternal inheritance that we cannot even begin to imagine. And so, Father, we pray that we might indeed lay hold of that so that it may quieten our hearts in the busyness of life, that we are those that will inherit the earth. We are those that will live without sorrow, pain, or suffering for eternity. We will be those that are raised to newness of life, new bodies that will never wear away. And so, our Father, we thank you for the treasure that is ours. But most of all, we thank you for the fellowship that we have with you, that we will be with you for eternity. And so, our Father, we pray that as we live our lives day by day in this world, that we might be examples to all those around us, not only to other Christians, but also to unbelievers, of the riches of the kingdom of God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, and we pray that as we celebrate that with our families, with our children, that we might first and foremost bring attention to the fact that we need to be Christians that are solidly founded on the Lord Jesus Christ, because without Him we have no salvation, and without Him we have no certainty about the future. In fact, all that we have is sin, misery, death, and eternal suffering. And so, Father, we pray that we might all have this wonderful foundation so that we can live our lives stress-free and worry-free, serving you with all of our heart, strength, and might. Amen.